Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning and the fellowship hour here as we look at the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We pray, especially to the elect of God. What are you saying to us, even on this platform? May our ears be open, our eyes can see, our ears can hear, our hearts can understand what it is that you are saying. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, getting right to the message today. This is, I believe, part four of the 2025 Prophetic Repairs series. Praise God. And just a quick, just touch on this series for a couple of minutes. It is something that the Lord spoke to me for this year, and I searched it out and put some scriptures together. I'm sharing it with you. Praise the Lord. So God is fixing to do some repairs. repairing. There's some things that God have built that, you know, cracked up, and he's fixing to do some repairs. He's fixing to rebuild the ruins. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11 says, in that day, such as now, that the Lord will rebuild certain ruins that are falling down, the tabernacle of praise. God will set them up again. You know, so we see that, you know, he's in the business of fixing things. You know, when something is broken, he's able to fix it. And so this year, the Lord has said there are some things that he will be repairing. But he gave the repair word or the repairs as a prophetic declaration. And so the closer I looked at it, the more the Holy Spirit revealed. And it was like peeling back onions, and I began to see what he was saying. And so we took apart each of these letters that spells the word, spell out the word repairs, and we're just, you know, dissecting it as the Holy Spirit gave. The letter R, the letter E, the letter P, the letter A, the letter I, those we have covered so far. You're going to have to check out the replays to get to what those were in detail, you know. But a quick recap without going into too much detail. R for release, the year of release, the Lord said it'll be. And you can, it can be all of these things, anyone or all of them, take your pick. The E for expansion or enlargement. Year of expansion, he said, exponential growth. The P for possession and positioning. God will bring us into our own, praise the Lord, and you regain grounds and things that we may have lost. Hallelujah. And the enemy will not be able to dispossess us from the inheritance of the Lord. The letter A for acceleration. The supernatural ability of God to bring to pass his plans and purposes, his word and will for us in our lives at a much faster rate than is humanly possible. You know, God is endowing us with that this year. We have a lot of scriptures to cover these things. And then we come to the I, which is for increase. So it's not only going to be a year of acceleration, it will also be one of increase as well. And many examples. And that's where we stopped yesterday. And I'm going to pick up from there and then go on to the last two of these letters today. But concerning increase, you know, I want to just throw this in quickly because I rushed toward the end of the room yesterday. I gave many examples in the Old Testament where, you know, God called people individually and they achieved tremendous increase. Gave the example of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even all of Israel, David, Solomon, all of them. And here's a comment I want to make about that. You know, in the Old Testament, and I alluded to this briefly yesterday, there were many such stories of individual, you know, successes, increases, prosperity, and so forth. It was pretty much each man for himself in the Old Testament. That's how the Lord did it. And so there are many, many stories that God, you know, would allow them to write, highlight or showcase how the Lord blessed them individually. And God also, you know, tried to bless the children of Israel as a group, but they were not always sanctifying his word. Sometimes they were rebellious, you know, most times. Now, that was the Old Testament. So all these stories, you know, Abraham in Genesis 13 and 2, Isaac in Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14, Jacob in Genesis 30 and 43, the whole of Israel in, you know, Psalm 105 and verse 24, David in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 25 to 28, and Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 to 27. I mean, tremendous stories of, you know, fascinating increases that the Lord brought into their lives. That was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the focus was not too much on individual prosperity per se. You know, the Lord focused more in the New Testament on us becoming like Christ, called to be saints, and the things that we should do. And in the area of increase and prosperity, the Lord depended more on community blessing. So we see right from the beginning in the early church, you know, when there were people, there were a lot of people that had, you know, great possessions, but the stories did not focus on those people. You know, we didn't just like, I mean, quite unlike in the Old Testament where stories and stories and stories of all their successes and their, how they acquired various things and all the things they did to acquire those things. You know, New Testament didn't go too much into all those stories. He did tell us that, look, you know, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. He gave us that. But nevertheless, didn't go into too much stories on individual increase. But the pattern that we saw in the New Testament church was that those who had lands and possessions and different things, you know, they were able to share. You know, we didn't see that too much in the Old Testament. You know, they came together, they sold their belongings, they brought it and laid it at the feet of the apostles, and they divided. And there were letters sent to various churches to make collection for saints and different things. And that was the pattern, you know, in the New Testament. Well, you know, we need to get back to that pattern. You know, what God is looking for now are people that know how to build wealth for the kingdom, not just, you know, for themselves. So we call them kingdom financiers, you know, those who know how to build wealth, you know, and spread it, you know, for among the kingdom. That's New Testament pattern, ladies and gentlemen. So let's, you know that. Now, that doesn't mean that God will not prosper people individually. Absolutely, he will. He's looking for the faithful ones that he can teach their hands how to profit, that he can show them how to build this wealth. But they've got a mission. They've got a focus. They're not focused on, you know, just amassing this wealth, you know, just to squander it on themselves. There's a plan. There's a purpose. There's a mission. So in the New Testament, it's slightly different, you know. And, you know, the key thing is that if you know how to, and I said this, if you know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. So, you know, that's what he's looking for. People that will know how to give it away for the good of the kingdom of God. You know, so that all the citizens can flourish and the mission of the kingdom can prosper. Those will be the ones into whose hands the Lord will bring the real wealth, even at this time. You know, but we, you know, just to show that God can do it, we saw those stories in the Old Testament. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. Then move on to, now we come into the letter R. This is perhaps, you know, one of the most significant. You know that there are two R's in this spelling of repairs. The first R was a release. This second R is restoration and rest. You can look at restoration as recovery. You know, you can also, but it's mostly restoration. I mean, everything, you call it the year of restoration and rest for God's elect. It's an all-encompassing restoration for all areas of our lives. I mean, there's health, liberty, you know, what God will give us for all the troubles, the deliverance from depression and hurt, gladness and joy, and so on and so forth, rest itself. So I'm going to cover this and see how much I can get into because it is so vast. It covers everything. In fact, it covers everything else that we've been talking about, you know, so restoration, that was the mission, you know, in a broad sense, that was Jesus' mission, you know, because he said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. So something was lost and he's got to get it back. Well, that's restoration or recovery, you know. So, you know, not only the sheep that were lost, but the kingdom itself. And the principles of the kingdom of God were also lost. And Jesus had to come and reestablish and come tell the people the kingdom of heaven is near and so on and so forth. And, you know, had to show certain things and bring, you know, certain concepts back which had been lost. You know, so you know, restoration is so key and so vast. You know, but let's consider some areas that affect us directly in our, you know, normal lives or natural lives. In as much as we are spiritual beings, and Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33 that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that all these other things will be added unto us. Well, it turns out that all these other things are usually either the area that keep people back from really flourishing in the things of the kingdom and his righteousness. Because when we don't have these other things, you know, then it looks like, you know, things don't work out. If you don't have health, you really can't do the other things. If you don't have liberty, if you don't have deliverance, if you don't have all the things that, you know, God will give you, you really can't flourish in the things of the kingdom. And those things are really part of the kingdom as well. You know, so, you know, let's take a look at some of the blessings that God will want to restore to us for 2025. You know, health, for instance, is so key. You know, if we are in good health, we can do more for the Lord. If we're not in good health, you know, running, God forbid that we're running helter-skelter from one place to another, doctors. There was a woman, the Bible said she had spent all her living on doctors and didn't even get any better. You know, and then one day she made up her mind that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. You know the story. You know, so we don't want to be in that situation this year. And there's a promise of God for recovery and restoration from all of that. So what is he going to actually restore in this area? Well, it is our health. Hallelujah. It's your health. God wants to promise us that our health will spring forth speedily. In the book of Isaiah 58, when you are seeking the Lord and consecrating yourself and doing it the right way, and towards the end of the year there, we called out for a time of consecration and we sought the Lord, you know. And one of my prayers, personal prayers there, was that, you know, he said, you know, our health, you know, shall spring forth speedily, you know. So if our health is to spring forth speedily, well, you can read that for yourself in Isaiah 58, verse 8. It said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Again, that's, you know, quickly, the health will be recovered. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. So, health is to spring forth. Whereas we may have, our health may have, you know, degenerated, God is going to repair it. And here are some scriptures. And this is so important because, you know, if we're not healthy, we can't do very much for the Lord. And so God wants to straighten that part out right away so that we can do more for the Lord. And here are some scriptures, some promises of what the Lord will do for us this year in the areas of our health. Praise the Lord. Exodus 15 and 26, famous scripture. But the Lord said, look, you've got to keep my words, observe my statutes, obey my voice, and do all these things that I command you. And I, in turn, glory to God, you know, I will take away sickness from you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, for the Lord to heal us, it means that we are sick. You know, so you can't be, you know, healing somebody that's not sick. You know, if the Lord calls himself a healer, then that means there must be of necessity some people that will need healing. Otherwise, he wouldn't call himself a healer. Jesus said himself, it is not those who are well that need a physician, but those who are sick. You know, so if the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, then it means there are various things that he must need healing in our lives. And we're talking of physical health. We're talking of mental health. We're talking of, you know, relational health, our financial health, everything. The Lord can heal it. But in the area of sicknesses and diseases in particular, the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you know, the psalmist in Psalm 103, he blessed the Lord for that. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, and who healeth all my diseases. Now, healeth there might be a present continuous tense, which means he's able to heal now and able to heal, you know, in the future. Anytime we get sick, you know, he can heal it too, everything, all the sicknesses. Now, it'd be ideal if we were in great health and never sick, but if you are sick, he will heal you too. Every which way, you know, he can keep you in health, and then he can also heal you when you're sick. And they promise that for us for this year. We need to be healthy, and God is going to give us help. Exodus 23 and 25, you know, he spoke to, you know, the Moses and the children of Israel, the things, the plans, you know, that he has for them. You know, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water this year, 2025. You serve the Lord, put him uppermost in your heart, and he will bless your bread, your water, everything. And he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. You know, why is it always talking about this? Because it's so important. You know, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That means individually, internal medicine and so forth, we'll find nothing. And then collectively as a group among us, hallelujah, the Lord would remove that sickness too. The mist can be among, can also be within. You know, so if you have any internal illnesses, you know, that they have to put under the scope or the scan to find, well, the Lord said, I'll remove it too. Hallelujah. I'll take all sickness away from the midst of thee, and there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of your days will I be fulfilled, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a powerful promise, you know, for us for this year in the area of our health. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. And the Lord said the same thing. You know, there, you know, people saw the plagues and different things in the land of Egypt, you know, and then the Lord, you know, tell them that, look, I, the Lord, will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Now, there's a lot of evil diseases, especially in the world today, pandemic, COVID, all kinds of things, you know, all variants of all these evils coming and more coming. Also, we're hearing rumors of it already, you know, but the Lord said, I will take away from thee all of these things which thou knowest. You know, there's all kinds of sicknesses. I mean, leukemia, cancer, diabetes, this and that, high blood pressure, what have you. Talk about cancers, there's various kinds. You can't even number them all. You know, science has made more and more and more discoveries. You know, and all of these things, the Lord said, you know, I'm going to take them away from you and not put any of these evil diseases on me. So this is the stance that we have to take this year. Hallelujah. You know, you got to take this stance and say, the Lord has promised that he will not allow any of these things to come upon me. Instead, unfortunately, and we don't even pray this prayer for anyone, but God is the one that said it. I'm going to lay them upon those that hate you. So let it be upon the demons, the devils, and all satanic altars. Let those things fall upon them. But for us, you know, the Lord said, sicknesses shall not be a thing among you. We don't even want to talk about that. You know, it should not be a thing among us. You know, God said, look, I will cleanse you. You know, I will even cleanse your blood. You know, even there's blood diseases and various things, you know, that the Lord said he will cleanse. You know, and they're finding more and more, you know, diseases in the blood, you know, but here's what the Lord said concerning even that. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, the very last verse says that the Lord will, you know, renew your blood. Ha! Or any blood diseases and any things that are in there, even blood, sicknesses. Well, he said, you know, the blood that I will cleanse their blood, which have not been previously cleansed, you know, because the Lord dwelleth in the midst of us. So he will even blood, he will cleanse it. And the word of God can do that too. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us the word of God goes into the bones and marrows. Well, bones and marrows, that's a blood factory in there. The word of God can go in there and replenish and cleanse, according to this verse in Joel 3:21. It will cleanse all that stuff. Hallelujah. Renew that. It wants us to be in wellness this year. Praise the Lord. And, you know, but we ourselves, we have some responsibilities. We've talked about that on this platform. You know, we can use faith for our healing, but we have to use wisdom for our health. You know, and you got to take care of your health. God will heal you when you're sick, but wisdom can keep you well too. You know, and God is able to also keep us well. I mean, you know, as we follow the Lord, I will remove sickness from the midst of thee. Praise the Lord. One thing that we do not want to even be mentioning, you know, this year is, you know, to say that we are sick or we have any of these evil diseases. You know, should not even be mentioned among us. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that, you know, the inhabitants of the place of Zion, or the kingdom, according to Isaiah 33 and 24, the people that dwell there, they will be forgiven of their iniquities and they will not say, I am sick. Hallelujah. You know, it always seems as if iniquities and sickness and all these things are connected. You know, bless the Lord who forgiveth all my iniquities and who healeth all my diseases. James chapter 5, you know, called for the elders, lay their hands, heal and pray for the, you know, the ones that are sick. And he said, if they are forgiven, I mean, if they are committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. So God is the, you know, one that cleanses us from iniquity and cleanses us from sicknesses. At the same time, he does it all. Bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, and beaten for our peace, and his stripes brought healing to us. He does it all. Not only forgiveness of sins, but also healing. The inhabitants of that land, of that place, shall not say that I am sick. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get that out of our vocabulary for this year. You know, blessing of the Lord for us this year is that we're not going to be looking at ourselves as sick people. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So here are a couple more, you know, promises about our health, you know, that the Lord have promised. In the book of Jeremiah, you know, chapter 30 and verse 7, the Lord point blank says, I will restore health unto you. Well, restore means, you know, something has stolen that health. You know, God gave the health at one time, and the devil, he took it. Well, by sickness, by disease, by this and that, and other afflictions, infirmities, and so on. But the Lord said, I will restore health unto you in 2025, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Praise the Lord. And we got to believe that. It's a blessing and it's a promise that the Lord is bringing for us. You know, it's a year of restoration. He has to restore the health as well. Praise the Lord. And again, in Jeremiah 33 and verse 6, latch on to these promises. Use them for yourself for this year. These are the things that the Lord is saying in this letter R. Praise the Lord. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. You know, and I will cure them. Glory to God. And we reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. You know, this is the promise of God that he said he would do. He will build them up even as the first, cause their captivity to return. You know, everything that the enemy had taken from you, the beginning of the restoration starts in 2025. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord will bring cure. It will bring healing. It will bring abundance of peace and truth to us as things begin to flourish for us in 2025. Does that mean that this is going to be a cakewalk? And then there will be no testings and trials and it's all going to be all smooth all the way? No. You know, but this is the overriding promise. And we got to arm ourselves with that promise. The Bible says, you know, go in and fight. We covered that yesterday, you know, or the other day, Deuteronomy 2 and 24, you know, but you have to be in a combat. You have to be in combat mode. And, you know, so the Lord said, you know, I'm going to drive them out. I'm going to give you victory, but you're going to have to contend, you know, with him in battle. You know, that's Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. He commanded them to go out and do it and begin to possess. Begin to possess. And you will have to contend with him in battle. So doesn't mean that because we are declaring these things that there will be no challenges. Well, but it means that we are arming ourselves with the word of the Lord to be able to face any challenge and to have the victory. Praise the Lord. You have the victory ahead of time. So when situation arises, you use the word of God and get yourself the victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Also, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Unto you that fear my name. Hallelujah. Well, do you fear the name of the Lord? That's the question. You know, unto you shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Anytime you need it, he'll be right there. You know, people need sun. You know, anytime there's no sunshine, everything just collapses. Even plants. You know, I noticed the plants in my, you know, in the front of my house. You know, when the sun comes up, you know, those flowers, they bloom. When the sun goes down, they just shrink. And I'm like, my goodness. I was watching that the other day. I'm like, every day, as soon as the sun comes up, these flowers just open up. It's amazing. You know, and when the sun goes down, it's like they just go to sleep. They just shrink. And you think that the flowers are dead, but they're not dead. They just collapsed. You know, but they need that sun to give them that life. And the Son of Righteousness, he's coming over you this year. Amen. Healing in his wings, because we need that health. Hallelujah. And as long as we are in the light, well, the sun is the one that's giving that light. We will be enjoying that healing from him. So, you know, God wants us to be in health, and he declares it even in 3 John verse 2. He said, look, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So this is God's desire, and it's his declaration for us for this year in the name of Jesus. Health. Hallelujah. So the next thing that I want to talk about in the area of restoration is liberty. You know, liberty, freedom from, you know, stress, freedom from burdens, freedom from, I mean, it will restore your peace, your freedom, your liberty, which the enemy has stolen. Remember, Jesus said the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. You know, he's, when he's stealing something, it means something was already there. You know, when he's trying to kill something, it means something was there. When he's trying to destroy it, something that was there. But Jesus promised restoration, you know, abundant life that we will enjoy, not just survive, but thrive. Hallelujah. And so in 2025, we arm ourselves with the victory, the words of victory that the Lord has given. He wants us to regain our freedom. That's restoration. At one time, the children of Israel were free. You know, when Joseph brought them in, they were free. The Pharaoh that was there at first, you know, gave them freedom. You know, go through the land, search out the best of it, and whatever you want, you gave it to them. Well, they said, well, we want the land of Goshen. No, he gave it to them. You know, and they were just flourishing, and they were free and everything. And then, all of a sudden, all that changed. When that one Pharaoh died, another one came up and said, well, I don't know about that. And, you know, Joseph, also all of them, you know, and so they, everything changed and they lost their freedom, you know, but God, you know, had a plan to restore it. So the liberty, and when he did restore it, he reminded them from time to time. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13, the Lord told them, look, I am the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And what was the reason why I brought you out? Well, to restore liberty unto you. He said, you know, pretty much, you know, I, the Lord your God, brought you forth out of the land of Egypt that you should not be bondmen. In other words, so that you will go free. You know, liberty was the reason why the Lord brought them out, to go free and then go and inherit the promise that he gave to their fathers. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. God wants us to go upright this year. He has broken those bands. And liberty, we must be restored unto us. We cannot put our necks, and we should not put our necks under the yoke of bondage again. Praise the Lord. Powerful promises for us this year. The book of Isaiah concerning liberty. Isaiah 14, verses 24 to 27. Liberty for the sons of God this year. And the Lord said he's going to break everything, you know, that's holding you back. Praise the Lord. The Lord's going to break it and cause you to go free. He's already done it, spiritually speaking. You know, we just need to enter into the blessing that he has already done. The Lord of hosts has sworn, Isaiah 14 and verse 24, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. Even as I have purposed, socially stand for 2025, if I may add that, that I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains, you know, and they will do that for you this year. The mountains will I tread him underfoot, and his yoke shall depart from off of him, and his burden shall depart from their shoulders. Now, this is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And in particular, for the children of God for this year. And this is the hand that is stretched out, you know. And the Lord said, the Lord of hosts has proposed it, and who shall disannul it? He has spoken it forth. And for 2025, God will break that Assyrian, you know. And it's, the Lord's hand is stretched out. Who can turn it back? God is promised us this for this year. Walk in this liberty in Jesus' name. Amen. That this is, you know, part of the restoration that God will bring for this year. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. When you know the truth, well, make you free. And he said, the Son of Man shall make you free. You'll be free indeed. Upon which the people said, we were never in bondage. What do you mean we'll be free? And Jesus said, you are in bondage, because everyone that sinneth is a servant of sin. And you are in bondage, you know, and you, the Son of Man can make you free. So we ourselves must be delivered from the bondage of sin, the bondage of sin consciousness, the bondage of self-righteousness, the bondage of need consciousness, all the things that are holding us back, as we have spoken about many times on this platform. The Lord will deliver us from it so that we can press forward in Jesus' name. Again, he said, as part of recovery, so we covered health and liberty. I want to talk about double for your trouble. Hallelujah. There's a lot of trouble that, you know, we may have had in 2024. I tell you, 2024 was a trying year. Despite the word of the Lord, you know, it's like the word of the Lord was tried. You know, despite the word of the Lord that, you know, gave us some promises and so forth. I mean, there were challenges, buffetings on every side, you know, different things that we heard. Even among our brethren, families and stuff, you know, the various stuff. But nevertheless, the Lord said, look, I will give you double for all your trouble. In the book of Isaiah 61 and verse 7, there are some promises for you to latch on to. You know, the trouble, yeah, you know, we've had some trouble, but the Lord is able to, you know, fix that. He's in the business of repairing, even in this year, 2025. You know, and part of what the way he will repair is to give us double joy. Praise God. Wherever the, you know, burden of heaviness and sorrow and so forth have been, is, you know, I'll turn your sorrow into joy, he said. How is he going to do it? Well, that's his business. We just need to believe, you know, that he's able to do it. For your shame, you shall have double. Isaiah 61 and verse 7. And for confusion, you will rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in your land, you shall possess the double, and everlasting joy shall be unto them. It's a promise that we can latch onto, and God will call for it for this year. Praise God. For all the trouble of 2024, the Lord said, you know, I will give you double joy. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! And everlasting joy be upon you. Praise God. You can believe it. You can receive it. Hallelujah. We declare it forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Zechariah chapter 9 verse 12, it talks about prisoners of hope. You know, the Lord can also bring, look, let's look forward to greater things this year. That's basically what that means. You know, let's not be despondent and so forth. Turn ye to the strongholds, ye prisoners of hope. Even today and this year do I declare unto you that I will render double. Ha! Hallelujah. For your trouble. Praise God. Double joy is coming. God is going to do greater things for us this year. I will wipe away sorrows. There's a way that God does it. Praise God. You know? And the ultimate time, I mean, yeah, he's doing it gradually. But ultimately, when we get into his presence, all sorrow will be gone. But God's going to visit us this year. You know, it is his presence, the revealed presence of God that brings joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. In order for us to, you know, not remember those sorrow, sorrowful things, his presence has to come upon us more heavily this year. That's what it means. You know, in that presence, that's where we have that fullness of joy. When you are basking in that presence, and those that have experienced sorrow, as they continue with trusting the Lord, you know, this year, the presence of the Lord will be so heavy, you know, upon them. That will show me the path of life. And that presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and 11. At that right hand, there are pleasures evermore. When you are in that presence, the deeper you get into that presence, the farther away sorrow and mourning and heaviness will be. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God is going to have to bring that presence. We're going to have to press into it ourselves too. You know, for that, you know, the sorrow to be lifted. You know, for those burdens and those heaviness to be lifted. The anointing of joy, the garment of praise will come to lift us into his presence. And the next thing you know, you stay in that presence long enough, you know, you won't even remember that sorrow. That's how he does it. In his presence, the fullness of joy will return. Praise the Lord. And God is making a way for us. Return to that presence. Experience that more and more this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that in the book of Job chapter 42, there's a lot of things that the story of Job, that he lost. You know, I'm talking about double for your trouble now. You know, Job lost a lot of things. And if you read it and calculate it, in the beginning, what he had at the end, except for children, everything else was doubled back to him. When the Lord turned the captivity of Job, we're told in Job chapter 42, you know, because he prayed for his friend, the Lord gave Job twice. That's double as much as everything he had. You know, in the beginning, you know, what he had, you know, like in the beginning, maybe he only had 7,000 sheep. This time around, he had 14,000 sheep. Whereas he had 3,000 camels. This time around, he had 6,000 camels. Whereas he had 5,000 oxen of yoke. This time around, he has 1,000. And he had 500 she asses. This time around, he had, you know, 1,000. And God restored his daughters, you know, 7 sons and 3 daughters. I mean, it was amazing. All the things, you know, this man, when he started out, he had a lot of stuff. But he lost a lot because the enemy put his hand in it. God allowed such a story there to give us, you know, encouragement in our time. You know, and, you know, I don't pray that anybody will be like Job because that's just too much for one person to bear. But let's look at the substance of Job at the beginning. Job chapter 1, you know, verse 1, you know, this man in the land of Uz, his name was Job, was a man perfect and upright and feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Take note of that. Now, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great house. You know, compare that with Job chapter 42. You'll see that he got back his sons and daughters, exact number, but everything else was doubled. Hallelujah. Doubled. Whereas, you know, he had 7,000 of one thing, he got 14,000 at the end. The one where he had 500, he got 1,000. Just compare it yourself. Word for word, literally, God gave him double. Praise the Lord. He had double. And the Lord said, for your shame, ye shall have the double. And you shall possess the double in your land. Praise the Lord. And there'll be some things that you may have lost. You know, God is bringing them back. We heard a powerful testimony in the room yesterday. Somebody lost a lot of finances. And the Lord moved. And he gave them back plus interest. Hallelujah. Now, this man
The Lord blessed the latter end of Job in verse 12, more than his beginning, so that he had double of all his possessions. 14,000 sheep, which is double of 7,000. 6,000 camels, which is double of 3,000. 1,000 yoke of oxen, which is double of 500. And 1,000 she asses, which is double of 500. And so the Lord said, I will give you double for your trouble. And I believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, deliverance from hurt and depression, you know, is another thing that God, you know, will restore our joy, your peace, the sanity of your mind. Hallelujah. Thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 26, the Lord gives this powerful declaration. In 2025, glory to God, as we keep our minds on him, he in turn will keep us in perfect peace. Thou will keep him perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Glory to God. And the Lord is going to do great things for us. Keep our minds at rest in 2025. Psalm 147 and verse 3 is a point blank prophetic declaration for us. You know, those who have suffered hurt or suffering depression or, you know, mental stuff and so on. You know, God is bringing relief and restoration of their minds. Praise God. For your family members too, you can stand in the gap and begin to make this declaration and prayers, you know, for them, that the Lord will watch over this word to perform it in their lives. He healeth the broken in heart. You know, those who have suffered all kinds of losses and hurt and depression, he binded up their wounds. He's going to do that for us, you know, in the lives of those that need it this year. That's part of the restoration, restoring their minds, you know, restoring even the peace of their minds as well. Brokenness and so forth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, Jesus quoted that in Luke chapter 4 of what was written in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, that's one of the things that he does. And there is a promise that he's going to do that this year. Praise the Lord. Heal the brokenhearted. You know, give, you know, unto them that mourn, give them beauty for ashes. Give them the garment of praise, where there has been the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know, that is what the Lord is doing for us. And this is the way Isaiah said it in Isaiah chapter 61, talking about the Christ, Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, anointing him to preach good tidings and so forth, and to proclaim liberty. See, that's that liberty again, to the captives, opening of prison to them that are bound. Hallelujah. Bringing this. But, you know, when Jesus would quote this thing in the book of Luke chapter 4, he went to the synagogue, was given to him, you know, the scrolls of Isaiah, and we're told that he found the place where it was written of this thing that we just read. And when he read it, he read a portion of it, closed the book, gave it to them, and said, well, today is this scripture fulfilled right here in your presence. Praise God. You know, so, you know, Jesus, and the way he quoted it, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. And, you know, even added a new dimension to it. Set at liberty then that are bruised and so forth. And this is the promise of God, you know, for us for this year. Liberty, you know, for those that are oppressed. You know, deliverance from depression and hurt, brokenheartedness. You know, some people have hurt, had their hearts broken. God is going to fix that this year. Praise the Lord. It's by the Spirit of the Lord, by the anointing of God, in as much as you keep your mind on Him, will restore unto you perfect peace. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is going to restore gladness and joy. It's another thing that He's restoring. You know, similar to what we just read, where He's going to take away the heaviness and bring a garment of praise, the oil of gladness, and all of these things. Well, Isaiah 35 verse 10 and Isaiah 51 verse 11. In two places, he says exactly the same thing, slightly differently, but pretty much the same. Therefore shall the redeemed of the Lord, hallelujah. And I put this here prophetically, that in 2025, the redeemed of the Lord shall begin to return to their own place. And they shall have gladness and joy. They will obtain it. And God is going to remove this, you know, the cloud, the dark cloud of sorrow and losses that hovered over some in 2024. God is going to remove that for 2025. Everlasting joy begin to come upon our heads. And that's our posture that we must, you know, assume for this year. And not allow the devil to bring that cloudy stuff over us again in Jesus' name. Dispel that by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, everlasting joy be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Isaiah 51:11 and Isaiah 35:10. And the Lord said, I am he that comforteth you. Hallelujah. And he will comfort you. This year, anyone that suffered losses and pain and distress in 2024, the year of comfort from the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord in 2025. Now, let me try to wrap this thing up here. What about rest? You know, talk about restoration and all these things that I've been talking about so far. God will restore this and that. Rest is also a form of restoration. It will restore you to a place of rest, you know, that removes anxiety, you know, and panic and, you know, unrest and, you know, instability and all these things. It will bring you back to a place where you are stable, who will settle you, who will establish you. Hallelujah. Bring rest for you. 2024. I remember I remember July of 2024. The Lord began to call for the season of rest. Well, we thought we would get into it fully, but, you know, so some challenges here and there and so forth. But I want to encourage us to step into that rest. There's a way that the Lord said we have to step into that rest. It's really funny the way He said it, you know, but I will tell you that in a minute. Let's first of all look at the promises of rest. You know, Exodus chapter 33:14. Here is the Lord telling Moses, giving him a promise of his, you know, the protection, the angel of the Lord, his presence, etc., that will go with him. And what comes with that? Well, this is the thing that we must recognize. It's not just the presence of the Lord by itself. Well, there's something that comes with that presence. It's rest. Hallelujah. My presence shall go with thee. Exodus 33:14. And I will give you rest. Well, or I will restore rest unto you. You will notice that rest and restore, they have the first four letters in come on as well. I will restore rest unto you. Praise God. You know, His presence is where we can enjoy that rest. There's nothing more that God, you know, God even demonstrated it. You know, He showed us, you know, how, you know, He sees from His labors, you know, and then He said that, you know, we also should cease from our struggles, cast your burdens, thrust them upon the Lord. Thrust, T-H-R-U-S-T. That means just dump it, you know, throw it at Him. He'll take it. Praise God. You know, that's what God wants us to do in 2025. Don't carry it yourself. Give it unto the Lord. You know, Psalm 127 tells us that, look, there is a way that God wants us to enjoy this year. Praise God. I'm bringing it prophetically. You know, He doesn't want you to be over much labored to the point where you can't even enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You know, He says, look, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. This is Psalm 127 verse 2. Only to eat the bread of sorrows. For He will give His beloved sleep. He wants you to rest. You know, we have to work and do this thing, but, you know, let it not be laborious. I mean, in other words, you know, let there be more labor added unto them, more burden and more this. You know, that's from failure. You don't want that. You know, God will ease things up for you. He will stretch the dollar for you. Amen. Praise God. He can do it too. We told the story of Jesus taking the little boy's lunch and stretching it by putting a blessing on it and putting it back in the hands of the disciples. That's all He did. You know, He just put a blessing on it. That's the miracle. People talk about, you know, Jesus feeding thousands of people. Well, all He did was bless the food. And put it in the hands of the disciples. That's the miracle, was actually the blessing that He put on it. And then these people had to do something with it. Hallelujah. So God is going to bless the little that you have. You know, Andrew and the rest of them said, well, you know, I mean, where are we going to get the money to feed all these people? And what is this among so many? And this was what they thought. But Jesus said, I mean, Jesus already knew within Himself what He was going to do. And so He said, look, bring me what you have, you know. And God is able to stretch, ladies and gentlemen, He's able to stretch that dollar for you. Praise God. How He's going to do it, you know, all He has to do is put anointing on the thing and put it back in your hands. And He give you strategy to do it. The prophet Elisha told the woman, this is the strategy. That pot of oil, which is all you thought you had left, God's going to stretch it for you. Here's what I want you to do. You know, lock yourself in the room, get some vessels, pour out some oil. When it's full, set aside, pour out some more, and so on and so forth. You know, and then she went and did, like the prophet said. One little pot of oil filled, I don't know, hundreds of pots. You know, it wasn't until there were no more pots that the oil stayed. They could have brought more pots. The oil would continue to float. And finally, when it all finished, she came back and said, well, you know, the oil stayed because we had no more vessels. The prophet said, well, good. Now you go and, you know, sell. You know, she probably didn't even have knowledge of that before, that she could start a small business there. And the Lord made her an entrepreneur right out of that. You know, the little thing that she had, she was able to start a business and sell it and make a lot of money and pay for her debts and leave the rest of it off of it. And it was a tremendous blessing, you know, that God put on it. But all that God put on is what they already had. What do you already have? What is in your hand? Lord told Moses the same thing when he was at the Red Sea. Had a rod in his hand. What is in your hand? Why are you crying unto me? It's already there. Use it. Hallelujah. So the little that you have, instead of killing yourself and overdoing it to the point where you will not have time for the Lord, if you put the Lord first, He will stretch that thing for you. It's called redeeming the time. He will redeem your time. You know, time that you could have spent in, you know, with the Lord. You spend it under overmuch labor. Well, you can turn things around in 2025. You know, God wants us to be hardworking, you know, but, you know, we don't have to kill ourselves in order to make ends meet. That's what it means in this verse. Rise up early, stay up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. At the end of it, you still can't make ends meet. You know, why don't we turn it over to the Lord? 2025. We're going to see God do tremendous things for us as we trust Him. Hallelujah. So there is coming a rest for the people of God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 to 18, you can claim this for yourself, the rest, you know, that God wants us to have. Praise God. You can claim it for yourself this year. Hallelujah. The walk of righteousness shall be peace. It's like rest also. And the effect of righteousness this year, quietness and assurance, beginning this year and going forward. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You know, God wants us to have rest. And when overmuch labor has taken that rest from us, God must restore it. And that's part of the restoration for 2025. And He will restore. And you're going to look back, praise the Lord, at the end of 2025. You will look back and see how great things the Lord has done. You know, you will look back and see that all that labor and everything, the Lord turned it around into sweetness. You know, it was a curse for Adam to eat out of the ground through the sweat of his head. It was a curse. You know, he said, out of the sweat of your head and everything you eat out of this land will not bring forth anything for you until you sweat for it. That was a curse. Now Jesus has abolished that curse. Huh. Hallelujah. Let the land now bring forth righteousness. Let it spring forth together. Let it bring forth milk and honey for the people of God. God put a blessing. Say, I will heal your land. You return unto me. You know, I will heal that land. God will heal the land. And then, you know, heal the labor also. You know, that's what it means. You know, we put in a little, we get a lot. Versus putting in a lot and getting a little. You know, in the Bible, we talked about people putting a lot. You put in much, but you got little. And I did blow upon it, said the Lord, because their ways were evil. So God blew upon it. And, you know, they had to work extra, extra harder and harder and harder just to make something happen. But the Lord said, in 2025, you know, you will be increasing, not because you need it to make ends meet, but because the Lord is causing you to flourish. That's going to be the difference. In the past, we had to do more just to get by. In this year, you're going to do more because the Lord is enabling you to do more. Not because of getting by. You're already getting by. But more than getting by, you are flourishing. And God will allow you to do more. You will have no limits. You will expand. It's part of the expansion. But it won't be because you're just struggling. You know, you won't be struggling. God is going to repair all of those struggles. Hallelujah. This is the message of repairing for this year, and the Lord is going to bless His people. Praise the Lord. And then here's a couple more things for us. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And this year, the Lord said, I'll give you rest. You know, rest, rest and rest. Praise the Lord. Take upon me. Take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can be yoked to your own burdens or yoked to the yoke of the Lord. Everybody is yoked to something, you know. So which yoke will you put upon yourself? Take my yoke, the Lord said. It's easy. You know, when you are yoked to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is guiding you. You can't turn to the left or the right because you're yoked to him. But it's easy. Praise God. It's not a yoke of bondage like that. Now, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, the Lord instructed the people, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were so many people going and coming, and there was, they had not even hustle and bustle, no leisure, even so much as to eat. So Jesus had to tell them, break away from all of that. I want you to get some rest. And praise God. God will create more opportunities for you. And you've got to be intentional also in 2025 of getting rest. It's part of the plan of restoration. You know, to restore us to the place of quietness and safe dwellings. Rest and assurance, as he said. Lastly, let me say this for Hebrews concerning rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 9 to 11. You know, it's a twist here of how you've got to, you know, contend to enter into that rest. He said, labor. He said, look, the people had a promise of rest, but they couldn't get into it. And so for us, we must contend, you know, labor to enter into rest. How can you labor to enter into rest? Well, you know, there are many ways you can look at that. You know, you can labor when you are young. You know, Lamentation 3:27 talks about that. He said, you know, it is good for a person to bear the yoke when they are in their youth. When you're young, that's when you do all the hard labor, and then you rest later on in life. But first, you got to labor to enter into that rest. That's one way of looking at it. You know, and some people play in their youth, and then they pay dearly later on. In your youth, when you go to school, you know, you suffer, you do a lot of things, you know, and so on and so forth. You take on, you don't stop at one degree level. You get more degrees. You put yourself through a lot of pain initially. That's a labor to enter into the rest. And then later on in life, you are enjoying. You got money. You can travel. You can do all these things. You got, you know, and God will bless you because you've put in your time. You know, now Jesus himself said it, you know, walk while it is day. It's a nighttime when nobody can do it. So during the day when you're young, you put in all your labor and then later on you enter into rest. Praise God. But also it means, you know, striving spiritually speaking and not letting the devil capture your games. You know, you believe the Lord, you stay with his word. So let's read Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. Praise the Lord. For he, you know, said there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You know, and he that is entered into his rest, cease from his own labors, even as God did from his. Let us therefore labor. How do you labor to enter into rest? Some people call that oxymoron. You know, labor to enter into that rest, that any man should fall, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. So hold on to the word of God, what he's saying for us for 2025, and you will enter into that rest. Praise the Lord. Everything that the enemy has taken from you or lost, or you might have lost yourself through your own misdoings, God will bring them back. And they begin to do so in 2025. Joel chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. I will restore the things that cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmerworm have eaten. I will restore, saith the Lord. Glory to God. And my people shall never be ashamed. And he said that twice in those two verses. My people shall never be ashamed. I will restore all the things that the enemy has stolen. So there's some things the enemy stole. You know, there's some things the Lord even allowed. He said, look, they labored, but I blew upon it, you know, because of the hardness of their hearts. So God made them to toil even more. But if we walk in the light, even as he is in the light, he will bless the work of our hands, and he will restore peace and quietness unto us. Hallelujah. And you will never be ashamed. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8, I want to finish this quickly. The Lord told David, pursue and you will recover all. The Amalekites, you know, and so forth, they come, this took the, you know, the story of, you know, Ziklag and so on. They struck and they carried away their wives and their children and their everything. And, they all lamented. They lifted their voices and wept until they had no more strength. And the people even thought of, you know, stoning David. And his soul was sore distressed. You know, cried unto the Lord, why thou disquieted within me? You know, and so forth. But he strengthened himself, encouraged himself in the Lord, we're told in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. And he said, well, you know, and he recorded that in Psalm 42. You know, why are you disquieted within me? Are we yet trust in the light of his countenance? And he encouraged himself. And then he went to the Lord and asked, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? And in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 30, the Lord said, yes. Hallelujah. Pursue, because you will most certainly recover all. Hallelujah. That's a blessed. I mean, that is music to my ears. Everything that the devil has stolen from you, the Lord said, pursue, you will get it back. David pursued after the lion, got back the little kid that the lion took from the flock. Same thing after the bear, and he got it back. Hallelujah. And you must pursue. Pursue and overtake the enemy and take back that which is yours. And in 2025, God will give you the means to do that. God will give you the instruction to do that. Strategy of how to be done. But you must rely upon him. But you must know that you are able to go up and get back what is yours, what was stolen from you by treachery or otherwise. You get it back in 2025 in Jesus' name. Amen. Last but not the least, I would just paraphrase this story of the so-called prodigal son in Luke 15, you know, verses 22 to 24. This was even a self-imposed set of losses. This man, young man, came into a lot of wealth prematurely, I might say, because he wasn't even, you know, disciplined, wasn't mature enough. And he asked for things prematurely. The father let him have it, but he paid dearly for it, for his lack of discipline. He went out on the spending spree and on wild, you know, orgies and things like that. And then he, you know, after he spent and wasted all his substance on riotous living, the Bible said he began to be in want. And a famine came upon him and he lost everything. But one day, glory to God, he came to his senses. See, this was his, you know, own losses. He brought this upon himself, you know. His problem was not that he asked for things. His problem was he mismanaged the things that he got. Bible say, ask and you shall receive. So he asked and he got, but he mismanaged it. And he got himself into a lot of trouble. Now, many of us have been in that situation. God has given us plenty, but we mismanaged it. And then we lost everything. We're now in trouble. But nevertheless, this young man, he returned home in his mind. Well, right now I've lost my sonship. If my father can just take me back as a servant, I'll be good. Have a roof over my head, have some meals and so forth. Huh. But lo and behold, here is restoration, you know, at the height of it. The father said, no such thing. You are my son. And you will be restored to the place of sonship. Glory to God. You know, this man wanted to make himself a servant. The Lord said no. The father said no. You'll be back as my son. This my son was dead. He's now alive. Was lost. He's been found. Bring forth the father cow and make celebration. Ha! Glory to God. And the father restored him to his position. Now, may the Lord restore us to the true position of sonship this year. if we have wandered away from his grace, you know, we have squandered the things that he has given us. We have not been good stewards. We lost a lot of things and so forth. But if you come back, see, the story all is all pivoted. I mean, it pivots around the point where the man came to his senses. That was a pivoting moment in that story. You know, so we must come to our spiritual senses and return unto him. If you will return unto the Almighty, Job chapter 20, 21 says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up, you know, but you've got to return to the Almighty. That's how you're going to be built up. You will not be built up, you know, if you do not return to the Almighty. Praise the Lord. So I will close with that today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us acquaint ourselves with him. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby shall good come unto you. Receive, I pray, the law from his mouth, and so on. And if thou return to the Almighty, you'll be built up again. So if we have walked away from him, done whatever, let's return, and he will build us up again. Restoration is promised for 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the hour. I will leave it there for today. Time's far spent, and I'm going to cover the S tomorrow by the grace of God. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you. You said in your word that this word is like treasure, which when a man had found, he went and hid, you know, in a field, sold everything, get it. And the psalmist said, I rejoiced at your word as one that found great treasure. It was the rejoicing of my heart. This word that you have given us is encouragement to 2025. May it be like treasure to us. Let's treasure it in our hearts and keep our eyes fixed on the word, confirming it with by speaking it out every day. This word shall not depart out of your mouth. Speak it out every day. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for these promises, blessedness of restoration of peace, health, liberty, wellness, and all these things that you promised us. You know, the Lord will bring it to pass in 2025. Begin to contend for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.